his word this morning. We're going to look at the first reading, which was in Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 11. Isaiah chapter 11. And the verses are particularly from verse 10 onwards, although the chapter begins with great instruction about the root of Jesse, speaking of the Messiah, of course, speaking of Jesus, who would come into the world as the answer, the promise of God for the people of God. So Isaiah chapter 11 and from verses 10 onwards particularly, and the theme of the banner. So when you saw the children's talk, you probably saw this terrible attempt to explain a banner, something, a standard that is raised up for people to come round and to be part of, the identified with the banner. And in Isaiah 11, verse 10, it says, "In that day the root of Jesse will stand as a banner for the nations. The nations will rally to him," and so on. And then in verse 12, "he will raise a banner for the nations." And so we're seeing here maybe a strange image that has been put across as a description of the Messiah. And of course, the people in the context of Isaiah's time, they're desperately looking for hope. The situation in the world is a little bit in a precarious situation for them. Their king, Ahab, has sought to remedy things, to find solutions, peace strategies, by uniting with, or intending to unite with, enemies, so that you'd sort of overcome more enemies by uniting with an enemy, so to speak. And he was going to make alliances with enemies. And God is saying through Isaiah that this is not the way to deal with your predicament. The way to deal with the situation is to trust in God. This is the time, Ahab, to trust in God. And we all know what banners are in terms of battle. I think maybe your mind's eye goes to movies you have seen, the Patriot or Hacksaw Ridge or something that shows an army that is almost collapsing, but when the banner is held high, when the banner is raised, it sort of rallies people round the flag, and the soldiers are given encouragement. So we see that all these things are very important things, because banners of war caused people to have hope. And when the standard was fallen, when the banner or the flag fell, people lost their confidence. But when you had a banner raised up, the leader could be trusted. There was confidence in the ruler. And it's interesting maybe that the Isaiah, inspired of God, uses this imagery to talk about the Messiah being a banner that we would look to have confidence in, that we would trust, that so long as he was raised up, we would have a hope and a confidence for our lives. And so it's a quality and a position that is ascribed to Jesus. All those hundreds of years, maybe 800 years before the birth of Jesus, it's a description of Jesus, the Messiah. And once again, we're going to have to deal with this image, this topic today. So the question is, if you're thinking of that Jesus is the Messiah who is the banner, are you going to stand under his banner? Are you going to be rallying round that? Are you trusting? Are you hoping? Is your confidence in him like that? So that is a question that I hope you will be able to answer by the end of the service today. So think of that question just now. Under whose banner are you standing? Where are you standing? In whom have you put your hope? So let's consider this huge, overwhelming chapter of chapter 11, and think of Isaiah's the people of Isaiah's time and how they would have received it. Imagine being in Israel and Judah at this time, and there's the definite approach of enemies, of conquering powers, of suffering, of the predicament, of a threat to life at least, and certainly to property. Imagine being there and looking for just elements of hope that you could put your hope into, and a glimpse that you could have that would encourage you. And here it is. Because Ahab is not the king that's going to be the banner that they can rally around. He has already shown poor, false, and unwise decisions. But Isaiah is presenting a different person. And he says at the beginning of chapter 11, a shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse, from his roots a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest in him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of power, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and he will delight in the fear of the Lord, and so on. And so Isaiah is presenting this picture and saying, people, my brothers and sisters, you have been looking to a human king. You've been looking to a human person who has failed you, who has let you down, who will continue to do so. But here, there is one who will come out and who will come up and will present the person, the leader that you need. And so we're going to look at this aspect of Jesus being our banner. And the first point of this is that he gives identity. The banner gives identity. So I was suggesting from my own personal background about how each major family in Scotland has a tartan and a crest and all these things. And I think if you'll find this typically all over the world. I'm sure in Spain, there are many crests and family identifying markers, and all over the place there will be things that you can identify with, your family roots. There's even websites that offer you a link into your ancestry and so on, and I think everyone has a little bit of an interest in that. The banner here gives the people of Israel identity. Now, they would have had banners for the tribes. The 12 tribes of Israel each had a banner, and they would raise the banner, and the tribe would walk together. They would either progress in a journey, or they would go to war as part of that group. And Israel might go to war and defend its borders, regimented, as it were, by those tribes with their banners. So the 12 tribes of Israel had identifiable banners. That meant there was separation, but there was also unity. There was separation that each one respected their different family backgrounds and so on, but there was unity in that situation as well. And what I was presenting to you was my clan, my Lamont clan banner, so to speak, how that is an identifying marker, a coat of arms and a tartan and insignia and so on. And today, when you see football matches, you see people holding up huge banners that are messages that are in support of their team, usually, unless they're calling for the manager to be sacked and removed. But most of the time, it is a banner that supports their team, and they all come under that massive banner that represents their team. So we see that a banner gives identity, and this is something that we can relate to. So today, if Jesus is your banner, you have an identity, and you can stand under his leadership, and you can look to him, and you can be identified and identifiable, just as the tribes of Israel would identify with their particular banner. So in the context of Israel and the context of Isaiah's time, this is a very meaningful thing. And I'm trying to ask you to consider how that would have felt. That the message here is that there is a supreme banner that you can come under. There's a supreme banner that can give you identity and you can look to it, and it's beyond the house of royalty. And so the banner gives identity. The second thing is the banner gives focus. In verse 10, we read there, "In that day, the root of Jesse will stand as a banner for the peoples. The nations will rally to him, and his place of rest will be glorious." It's meant so much for them. The context, of course, is extreme hardship. The context is danger. But here Isaiah is saying there's someone who is going to come. There's someone who is going to arrive. Surely he's speaking of the Messiah. Surely he's speaking of God's chosen, anointed king. But this is God's chosen, anointed, God's sent one. The one who would bring salvation. The one who would bring not just identity, but focus. It's all couched in grammatical terms that suggest about how certain this is. And often in the Old Testament, we see expressions that just are meant to be understood very simply. They are meant to be understood as the certainty of God's promise, the certainty of God's plan. In that day, the root of Jesse will stand as a banner. It's talking about him standing almost in the present tense, because it is so certain for the future. It's like he's already standing in the plan of God, in the plan of salvation, in the sovereignty of God. Christ the Messiah is already standing. That's the sense of it. In other words, they can have such certainty in the context of uncertainty by just looking to this banner, whoever he will be. Who will be this banner? Who is this that is sent of God? Notice what Isaiah says, the root of Jesse. The root of Jesse. In other words, be someone of their own. Someone who would be able to relate to them. Someone that they could relate to. The Savior would understand them. And we know that Jesus is described in the New Testament as that great high priest who all knows all things about our experience of life. That we do have someone who understands us. And here Isaiah is saying to the perturbed and worried and anxious people, one of your own, one who will come from your background, will be this banner, this answer. The sense here is what Isaiah is talking about. The root, which was invisible, but nonetheless was there, is going to become visible. The root which gave foundation and life is now going to be seen. Jesus is not just the foundation, therefore. He's the rallying point. He's the focus. And here we see something that tells them, you can come to this banner as you would come to a loving brother, someone who knows and understands. The banner gives focus. Verse 10 says that Jesus, in effect, will be that banner. The root of Jesse will stand as a banner. He will be the banner. He will be the thing that they look to. And this is a wonderful thought. Not only is there identity under this banner, but our focus in life and our hope for eternity is in this banner, because it's in a person. And so this banner isn't just a thing that is waved in front of people. It is a person that is displayed, that is elevated. And he shall stand as a banner for the peoples. The nations will rally to him. In other words, it's not just for Israel, but this is for humanity. And then and there's an expression of the gospel. So identity and focus and hope. And he is the banner. He will be lifted up for the people. And there's a link back to Moses' time, when in Moses' time, the people who had been bitten by a serpent had to look raised their eyes to a serpent that was raised up on a pole, so to speak, and they would be saved. And Jesus uses this sort of terminology when he's spoken of in John chapter 3, verses 14 to 17, which I'll read for you. Because this links a New Testament description with Isaiah and with this incident in Moses' time. John 3, verses 14 and to 17. And there we read, "Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." And it goes on to say, "Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son." So here we see a link to Jesus as the root of Jesse, who is the banner that is elevated, that was spoken of as a sort of prefigured in the Old Testament time of Moses as the answer to be saved, and in the New Testament is fulfilled in Jesus as the answer to be saved in our souls. And so we're beginning to get an understanding for the people of Isaiah's time. Mercy and grace and hope and confidence. That is what they were being presented with. Thirdly, the banner gives hope. It's just a focal point as well, but there are promises here that are by no means empty. "In that day" is repeated. "In that day" in verse 10 is repeated in verse 11. "In that day." And it's a description, it's a phrase which is presenting to us the certainty of this prophecy, that this is going to happen. There is a sense of stability. Jesus is being presented in the Old Testament. It's a great thing for us to think of today. You don't just find Jesus in the New Testament. You don't just find Jesus in the four Gospels of the New Testament. You find him basically in every page of the Scripture. And here he has been described hundreds of years before he was born. But here there is a great promise that with him being our banner, his place of rest will be glorious. His place of rest literally will be glory. The Hebrew doesn't say glorious. We translate it as glorious. But the original language says glory. His place of rest will be glory. This is the picture that's been presented for a people in an inglorious state. And when they look to this banner, this root of Jesse, this Messiah, this Savior, he will show them that as his people, the church, they will be with him. They will be with him in glory. He must be our banner. And we know of the certainty that Jesus said things. He promised things, and he doesn't break his word, and he doesn't break his promise. But if we would just look to him today, we'll see that the light of Jesus is strong enough and powerful enough to illuminate the darkest of hearts. Even the darkest recesses of our hearts that we don't dare to go to ourselves. The light of Jesus is able to illuminate that, to change it. And the wonderful thing we were looking at earlier in the Sunday school class is that through his death on the cross, we have deliverance from the power of sin. The power of sin. Have you thought about it? that many programs that were dealt, they were presented with to overcome addictions, to overcome different issues of life. They are telling us, you can never overcome this. You will always be this. You can never have victory. You must just accept it, and you must always come to our answer for you to survive and get through each day. But the Bible talks about the power of Jesus overcoming the power of sin. And if this is true, no matter what you struggle with, no matter what addiction or addictive or obsessive behavior, no matter what is in your life, if you will take that to Jesus and plead His power in faith, we do know that He is strong enough and able to break the power of any sin. It gives us hope. It not only illuminates the darkness of our hearts and floods in light. Light came into the world. It's enough to lift the most downcast face. Remember last week, the difference between David Hume, the Scottish philosopher, and John Knox, the Scottish reformer. One empty of God, downcast and in despair. The other full of faith in Jesus, looking to heaven with a positive and an optimistic and a realistic faith. Spurgeon, he writes, Christ is the rallying point for humanity. He draws all people unto Him. To Him shall all people offer their allegiance. And the place where He deigns to dwell shall be glorious indeed. What is this but His church, of which He has said, this is my rest. If Spurgeon is right, then we believe that the glorious body of Christ is the church. What a wonderful thing to consider. That's not a building. It's not some painting on a beautiful painting on a ceiling in a Sistine Chapel. Although these are wonderful things. It's not incredible stained glass. It's not Gothic structures. It's not wonderful organ music or incredible praise teams. That the glorious body of Christ is His people that come under His banner, that look to Him for their identity, that see in Him their focus and have in Him alone their hope. And He says, this is my rest. What a wonderful thing that He has promised to be with us. That He will even kiss the dirtiest cheek and hold the feeblest hand and look with love into the most damaged eyes. Christ is this banner. Lastly, this banner gives us love. I think when we read the Song of Solomon, we see a lot of imagery there. That's true. There's incredible imagery put there. But one of the things that comes across is how it speaks of a relationship that we can see also between Christ and His people. We know that God is love. God is love. The Bible seems to teach very clearly that any love that we have is because He first loved us. We are created in His image. And if God is love, then love is a part of us. So it's natural for us to look for love and to look to share that love. But this relationship between Christ and His people, this banner which gives love, we're reminded of the nature of that. It's a foundation of love. They would look to the banner. Isaiah was telling the people, this king, this banner, this one that you can look to, the one that you can rally around, this king will not let you go. He's not just taken over by self-interest, self-preservation. How far removed was the truth about Jesus that he was certainly not interested in self-preservation? That's the truth. He was not interested to self-preserve. The hymn writer says, "O love that wilt not let me go." And this is the love that is the banner, that he was willing to give his life, that he didn't seek to preserve his life, that he gave it. He didn't protect his interests. He gave them up. He forfeited these things for our sake. This is an expression of love, and he said, "This is love, that a man lay down his life for his friends." And there's no greater love than this. And then he says, "You are my friends. You are my friends." And so love is honest, it's intimate, it's precious. It's a love that counts no cost. It forgives our worst. It heals our broken lives and makes our hearts sing. This is the banner that is Jesus. Jesus is the banner for you today. The banner that is spoken of in Isaiah chapter 11, giving hope for a future for Israel. But we see this fulfilled supremely in the New Testament, that this was actually Jesus and that he is the Messiah. We find our identity in him. It was at Antioch that the people who followed Jesus were first called Christians. They bore the name Christ. They were identified with him. They stood, and we stand under his authority. Who is head of the church? Christ Jesus is head of the church. We can look to him and know his promises. We can have our hope in him. His love is unmatched. Looking back to Exodus 17, there's a term there that's used, Jehovah Nissi. The Lord is my banner. So I want to finish. Is that the answer to the opening question? Under whose banner do you stand? Have you been looking for this banner that is spoken of in Isaiah 11, fulfilled in Jesus alone? And can you say, "The Lord is my banner"? He is the Savior, and in him I will trust. O love that wilt not let me go. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for just seeing a link between the Old and the New Testaments, but particularly not just a link, a fulfillment, and the fulfillment of this description. The root of Jesse will stand. He will be raised. Lord God, the people of the Old Testament waited for that root to become visible. And some, maybe here today, are waiting to see Jesus, to understand. And I pray, O Lord God, that even this day, that all of us will understand that he is the Messiah. He is the root of Jesse. He is the one that we can relate to. He relates to us. He is the one we can rally round. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We enter into the battle of every day under his banner with courage and fortitude. We enter into the struggles of life with hope. We face eternity with the certainty of his love, O Lord God. And his banner over us is love. We just pray that everyone here will be able to say, "Jehovah Nissi, the Lord. The Lord Jesus, he is my banner." We ask it in his name. Amen.